Ray Gavin, George S. Wynn appearing for appellants, Nancy Wang appearing for appellee.
All right, would the appellant like to reserve any time?
Yes, please, if I may reserve 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes. You may begin.
Okay, well, your honorable judges have read the brief, so you know what it's about. And what I would like to emphasize, I think, is what we regard as being the bad faith nature of the bankruptcy filing. As you know, it was filed on Easter Sunday night with a skeletal Chapter 13 petition, and the attorney for the debtor alleged that there was an emergency. The petition had to be filed electronically on Easter Sunday night because there was a court hearing scheduled in the state court in San Mateo County that would have happened the following day on Monday, in which the court likely would have adopted its tentative ruling of the Friday before, in which the state court had ruled that the property located at 9 East Carroll Avenue in Burlingame that my clients, the judgment creditors, were trying to bring to sale was not the debtor's homestead. He wasn't a debtor yet at that time, not a bankruptcy debtor. But they had the judge had ruled in his tentative ruling that the property located in Burlingame was not the judgment debtor's homestead under California law. And as was commented upon in the briefs, the debtor had stated that he stayed occasionally in the back building on that property. He didn't say that he and his wife did, and he never claimed at that time that that was his homestead. But in his petition that he filed on April the 4th, he stated that the Burlingame property was his homestead. And I believe that that was just an attempt to have California's very generous homestead exemption applicable to that property. But anyway, I believe that was a false representation and is just one of many items that rang untrue in the debtor's voluntary petition filed on that Easter Sunday evening. He also stated in that petition that his debts were primarily consumer debts and that he didn't have any self-operated business. But his later schedules filed about a month after that showed that he did indeed have a business. In fact, except for his rental income on all of his various rental properties, he claimed that his income was a little bit from Social Security, but mostly from operating a sole proprietorship business called Gavin Construction. And although he stated in his voluntary petition that he had no such income from a self-proprietorship business, turned out in his later schedules and declarations, he had thousands of dollars of income. And the figures did not match on the various schedules. The different figures didn't match up with each other. That's all covered in the briefs. But the it's not clear that Mr. Gavin needed to be in bankruptcy at all. He had very few unsecured debts.
Why is that your concern?
It's my concern because he stopped a state court proceeding that appeared to be the primary focus of his bankruptcy filing.
But isn't that a legitimate concern? I mean, most, you know, not a debtors don't want to go through expensive litigation. They'd rather just get to reorganization.
Well, it's not at all clear what he needed to reorganize.
Well, he didn't stop you, it sounded like.
Well, preventing the creditors from executing on his real property and satisfying the debt is not reorganization.
Oh, but let's tease that out a little bit, because my understanding of bankruptcy is it allows a little more leverage for the debtor in this situation to maintain or keep the property that is sought to be executed upon and spread out payments if they can. And it's unclear to us what's happening in the 11, but it's still going on. So, isn't that what's going on here?
Yes, in the 11, he is proposing to do that. He is proposing to make payments on the judgment debt and interest. He hasn't yet allowed for all the additional factors and costs involved in that, but just basically on the judgment debt and the allowed costs by the court so far, he is proposing in his Chapter 11 proposed plan to pay those back over a 60-month period.
Counsel, is the confirmation hearing still set for the 25th of February?
No, it has been moved to a date in April, I believe April 15th.
Which leads to another issue that we're concerned about, and that is that the orders that you're seeking to have us review are the denial of your motion to dismiss, the granting of the motion for conversion, and the denial of your motion for sanction. And what we're not sure about is whether those are final orders. Given the fact that there's a potential confirmed plan that could ultimately determine if you win and you don't get the confirmation, then those issues might become final. If the plan is confirmed, the question becomes whether they become mooted. And at this stage, are those final decisions, final orders, the denial of dismissal, the denial of sanctions, and the granting of a conversion?
Well, I don't know, Your Honor. You're more schooled in this than I am, but I don't know why any of those orders would not be final orders. In particular, the denial of the motion for sanctions appears to me to be a final order, because the issue of whether or not the debtor and his counsel violated Rule 9011 is a definite thing that comes to a conclusion at that time. It is subject. Yes, Your Honor.
I was going to suggest that 9011, which addresses bad faith, could also be addressed at the time that you're looking at confirmation of the plan, and you could be raising the sanctions motion again as you proceed through the process to say, look, all the way through this has been bad faith, and 9011 sanctions could still be imposed. That's number one. On the question of the dismissal, that you could still raise the dismissal if the plan isn't confirmed. And so that order doesn't remain as absolutely final at this stage of the proceeding, since it's not precluded later. And the decision to convert would depend upon whether or not he can confirm a plan, because if he ultimately doesn't confirm the plan, you may get conversion or dismissal of the case at that point. So those are the issues that we're wrestling with with regard to whether or not this is final determination.
Okay, I can see how that's a concern, Your Honor. Thank you. The point I think I would like to make is that the bankruptcy court should not just permit such fast and loose playing with the bankruptcy system as filing a Chapter 13 petition for which the debtor was obviously unqualified. His secured debts were 3.5 times the limit.
So you are arguing this was not a mistake?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't understand that question.
Well, you as the backdrop is, you've indicated this case was filed as a skeletal petition on Easter Sunday. Debtor's counsel has submitted a declaration. He wasn't able to obtain any further information given the time constraints and the holiday and all that. So what I want to understand is, do you just disagree with that? Or are you saying that there's facts that show that this was more than just a error? This was truly bad faith, as in, some ill-conceived attempt, because not every error can be bad faith, can it?
No, that's right, Your Honor. But here's a case where the debtor's counsel is supposed to at least, well, he should do a thorough review of the debtor's finances prior to filing, but at least he ought to do a cursory one. And it would have only required 2 minutes on the telephone for counsel to say, what's your situation on real property? Do you have real properties and do you have secured debts? And the debtor would have said, yes, well, I have 4 real properties.
Where is that in the record, though? Because the record's fairly thin, but the only thing that I see is a debtor counsel's declaration that said, you know, that the client was recovering from surgery, it was an emergency, it was holiday, needed to be filed before, you know, Monday, so that you didn't waste everybody's time. And I guess to compound the questions, isn't this a question of fact that Judge Montali decided?
Repeat that last question, please, Your Honor.
It seems like, you know, I understand your client has a view of this, but it also seems like this is a factual question that Judge Montali reviewed the evidence that was presented by the declaration, wasn't really controverted, and concluded that it was an error, especially given the quick flip into conversion and the filing of the schedules.
There wasn't that much said about it in the record before Judge Montali. But the argument that debtor's counsel repeatedly made and continues to make is that it was some sort of an emergency that the San Mateo court was about to enter an order for the sale of the debtor's real property. And that was just specious.
I don't know if that's necessary. And you're at three and a half minutes. Did you reserve time? I can't remember, actually.
Yes, I'm not sure. Is this clock including my reserve time here? Am I about to run out completely?
Yes.
You've got about 3.5 minutes left. So if you want to reserve the rest, you can.
All right. Well, I can keep my reserve time short, but I just want to say that this idea that there was an emergency because the court was about to enter an order was just foolish, because the order wouldn't have resulted in the sale of the property, not immediately. It would have had to be sent to the sheriff, and this and that would have had to happen. It would have been a couple of months before it came to sale, leaving ample time for the debtor and his counsel to go over things. So I'll stop right there. Thank you.
All right, Ellie.
I'm sorry, can I begin?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to rehash too much of what's in the papers. I know your honors have spent some time looking at it. Just to kind of reply to Mr. Wynn's response on whether or not it was an emergency coming out of the gate and filing it as a 13 and not as an 11. The debtor did have 3 other properties that were facing foreclosure at that time. We would have had to run title reports to really do due diligence. It's not a 2-minute conversation with the debtor. We're running title reports, credit reports. We have to match all of that up along with the finances.
And is that in the record?
It is in the docket, or I believe it is in one of the declarations that there were 3 other properties in foreclosure. And
as to the sanctions or to something else?
As to the allegation of the bad faith filing, so that would have been in the sanctions and the request for sanctions that this was filed in bad faith. So there were other properties. It was not just the property that Mr. Wynn was trying to have a sheriff sale on. The motion to convert once we found out that we were over the 109E limits came just 5 days after the initial filing. So the filing was on April the 4th, and the motion to convert was on April the 9th, and that was done on notice and opportunity to object. And so Mr. Wynn's had plenty of time to object to that, and Judge Montali found that it was proper to convert at that time. And one thing that I do want to mention is if Mr. Wynn's had gotten his motion to dismiss and the case would have been dismissed, we would have just refiled it as an 11 anyway. So I'm not really sure why that would come up for appeal, because we would be in the exact same position had he gotten that motion to dismiss. We would have refiled it as an 11. The plan right now is conditionally approved on the debtors having to do some tax returns, because there are tax issues in this case that also arose after the fact. So this case is on track for being confirmed. Mr. Wynn's client is going to get a 100% on his judgment. It's about $177,000 right now at 10% state court interest, just like he would have if it had stayed in 13. And the only reason why it did not stay in Chapter 13 was really because those other three properties pushed it over the debt limits. The result would have been absolutely the same. There is no prejudice whether that motion to dismiss was granted or not, or denied, and we had to refile. And so I think Judge Bontali made the correct ruling in that it is a little bit of a waste of judicial resources and us having to go through this exercise again had we refiled when we could have just converted very early on in the case. Regarding the good faith, I think I touched on that a little bit, but the In re Levitt factors are pretty substantial in that there's no lack of transparency here. Nobody was hiding it to try to play games or any shenanigans and to delay state court litigation. The state court, this debtor has only filed one bankruptcy, and that's this one. He wasn't a repeat filer. He was not consistently trying to thwart Mr. Wynn's client in state court by delaying things just to get kicked back. I know and those are the scenarios I think In re Levitt really, the case of In re Levitt really contemplates when assessing bad faith. So again, I think Judge Bontali, he had a very thoughtful response to that, and he just did not find that filing something because there was a share of sale, tax problems, and three other properties that were up for foreclosure and in default was not something, was not bad faith, because the debtor needed a reorganization and a big one at that. It was a large reorganization. The plan that is in the files will show that we were able to get stipulations with three of the mortgage lenders where he was in default to modify the loans to put the arrears into the back end where he would be able to keep those properties. The taxes that were not filed that were assessed hundreds of thousands of dollars, we are cleaning that up. That was worked on. So this case really isn't just about Mr. Wynn's judgment. And, I'll say again that Mr. Wynn's is going to get 100% on his judgment. I'm just not exactly sure how he is prejudiced by.
Has he and his clients objected to confirmation?
No. There was no objection to the disclosure statement. This disclosure statement was approved, and there is no objection to the confirmation at this point.
Counsel, can you address the question that I raised about the mootness issue, about whether or not these are final orders? And if you think they might not be final orders, would the debtor support the concept that we grant leave and resolve this question? So because you've already briefed it and we're so far along the line this way?
Yes, I would agree to that, Your Honor. I'm not 100% sure. However, I agree with you. I don't think that the orders become final until there is a confirmation order. And then at that point, the orders, I think there's 2 weeks and then it becomes a final order. So the order can be held for 2 weeks and there's a notice that there's going to appeal, then that stops everything. But they're not final orders at this point. If something happens and this case gets dismissed, I think Your Honor's right, everything just becomes moot. But as I mentioned, there is no objection to confirmation. We are very confident that this case will be confirmed in April. So I have no problems with, we have absolutely no objection to what Your Honor just suggested.
Well, let's talk about the motion for sanctions for a moment, because that one has a little different feel. The requirement is that it be frivolous, baseless, and filed for an improper purpose. And it's somewhat of a sliding scale. And in this case, the problem is that it was just wrong. So, I mean, how do you respond to that? And Mr. Wins says that, you know, it really doesn't take a whole lot to just ask about the real property and the situation. How does that factor into how we should view this motion for sanctions and the decision?
Of course, Your Honor. And Mr. Wins is not wrong. It when we're dealing with debtors who have perhaps one piece of real property and some credit card debt, we can run those reports fairly quickly. We can run a title, we can run a credit report. However, in this case, we were dealing with three pieces of property, various liens, various judgment liens that may not show up, and also having to run the credit report. And I remember this case very well at the time that we filed it, because we were all at home. We all had to run into the office and beat either some type of foreclosure sale date, or we were under the impression by the debtor that there was a share sale that was going to happen the very next morning. And so we had to get a case number and get it into either, fax it into either the trustee sale foreclosure people or the Santa Clara, the state court, to stop any type of sale of the debtor's real property. Now, he does live there part-time. However, I'm not very sure how much Your Honors would like me to elaborate on that, simply because there's no discount. If he took the homestead exemption, whether he lived there or not, there's no discount as to Mr. Wynn's or any other of the unsecured creditors' claims. Everybody is getting paid in full, including all the secured mortgage lenders and the unsecured creditors, with interest. And I think the debtor is allowed to do that under the bankruptcy code, is reorganize in a way where he does not lose real property, especially where he, someplace where he does live, albeit the garage, and pay in full with interest. I'll just one more thought on that. It's just, you know, as soon as we got in on Monday, on that Monday morning in the office, everybody, it was all hands on deck, and we really looked at this hard, and that's why we filed. We had a motion ready to go within 3 days, because we and all the schedules ready to go to make sure that they were accurate and the court, and they were transparent, and the court could get a very clear picture of what this debtor's estate looked like at that time. And it was 4 days after the filing, after the skeletal filing. So nothing had been put up yet, other than it being in the wrong chapter, in a chapter 13, because he was over the debt limits. And with that, I'll just say, with all of these, the 11 sanctions, the motion to dismiss, and everything that's on appeal, I mean, Judge Montali, he has judicial discretion to take these facts under submission under 105. And he, you know, I believe that his reasoning was well thought out, and it was the correct way to handle this case. And I'll submit on that, Your Honors.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Wins, you have a couple of minutes left.
Thank you. One thing that we did not cover is the fact that Judge Montali decided to deny the motions and grant conversion without a hearing. And this was covered in the brief, so I don't need to say any more about it.
What was going to happen differently?
Well, I don't know what would happen differently, but he was obligated to give a hearing on it. He couldn't grant conversion without a hearing. That's the law.
Well, were you going to present live testimony at the hearing, or was it you just going to argue?
I don't know what we would have presented at the hearing. There might have been some live testimony, but it would have given us an opportunity to argue about the bad faith. It was clearly something that the debtor and his counsel should have known, that he didn't qualify for Chapter 13 when he filed it.
That's the difference between an error, a mistake, and bad faith.
How can you call it a mistake when he knew how much property he had and he knew roughly how much secured debt he had, and yet he and his counsel went ahead and filed a Chapter 13? That's bad faith. And then if you look at the rest of it, if you look at his schedules and his position, there are so many errors and inconsistencies in there that were never attempted to be corrected.
But the debtor seems to be, Ms. Wang, saying that the debtor is proposing a 100-cent plan, a full payment plan. Is that your understanding of the plan?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you haven't objected to it. Is that correct?
We didn't object to it for technical reasons. We felt that we were standing on our position that the bankruptcy should have been dismissed, and it was erroneous for Judge Montali just to grant conversion. So a sole practitioner only has a limited amount of time, Your Honor.
Well, that's somewhat ironic in this case.
Because the debtor's lawyer is giving the same argument as to why they filed inappropriately the wrong petition. I mean, they only had so much time to prepare, and they only had so much investigation they could conduct, and had to rely upon representations made by the debtor initially. And what's confusing here is your argument on bad faith is one that you would take to the court if you really believe this plan was unfair and didn't want to have confirmed. You'd be continuing to raise that argument, but you haven't, which tends to mean that your client realizes they're going to get paid in full at some point in time, and they don't want to really fight about something like bad faith at this stage of the proceedings. It just militates against your position, I guess, is what I'm concerned about.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to say that I don't think that it's proper for the bankruptcy court to allow an obviously false, in many respects, petition, even though he could have probably done a Chapter 11 in the first place if he'd taken its time and done it. There was no emergency. That was all a bunch of foolishness. So it's in your hands now, Your Honors. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your good arguments. This matter will be submitted.